Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, welcome to the first White Riot of the 2013 annum. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
And we're here to kick off the new year in the right way. And I don't mean by some stupid pseudo fiscal cliff negotiation, Judo Larry M.
That's right. We mean this in a very current way.
Very current way. That's absolutely right. And we'll get into that. Judo Larry M. giving me a smile like he just came up with something clever over there.
Very clever, because Al Gore is a douche.
Yes. And we'll get into that right away. But for right now, let's kick it off by doing our usual salutations. And by saying that this is the White Riot Show. You can catch us at whiteriotshow.com. Facebook.com/White Riot Show, Twitter.com/White Riot Show, on Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, and also on iTunes. The White Riot Show blowing up everywhere, Judo Larry M.
It's unbelievable the amount of following just every week.
Every week. Somebody
we even missed a week.
That's right.
It's still blowing up.
Well, we didn't really miss a week. We did put out the top 12 of 2012 riotous clips as voted on by you, the listeners. And if you haven't checked that out, go check it out. Go to whiteriotshow.com or check it out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/whiteriotshow. The top 12 of 12, getting a lot of positive press, a lot of publicity, a lot of new followers for the riot.
Like who, Big John?
Well, you know, we don't want to drop some names, but let's just say that there's some Fox News anchors that are now, as we have found out, big fans of the riot. Big rioters at Fox News. Not that that's really a surprise that people at Fox News would enjoy the riot.
Just rioting just a few blocks from here,
right? That's right. And
a few left-wingers who don't want to admit it, but
that's
they're
right
out there.
They're listening to the riot.
We see you.
Yes, they're listening to the riot, and they know who they
technology
are. You know who you are, baby.
That's right. So let's pimp the shit.
So first of all, let's just say this, Judo Larry M. How was your holiday? Did you enjoy your holidays?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
And you?
I enjoyed them myself, pretty good. What'd you do for New Year's?
More just family stuff.
Family stuff?
You could almost replay what I did for Thanksgiving.
Really?
It's always time for the family. And last year, I actually went to a New Year's Eve party. But this year, with the family, got together with them. It was really nice.
Good.
And, you know, my tradition, I don't think I've ever missed, even though he was not on for the first time
right
ever, Dick Clark, I don't think I've ever missed Dick Clark's show
right
doing the countdown.
Yeah. And
I mean, I only watched like the last 10 minutes,
yeah,
but I don't think I've ever missed it in my life.
I used to make it a point, but honestly, it sucked for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but it's tradition.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was so horrible this year.
Watch like, the ball get dropped.
First of all the fucking musicians suck a dick. They're all
losers.
Horrible.
Yeah. And the people in Times Square are idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how many people turn out.
And thanks to our very own Queen Bloomberg, you know, it's like animals herded into pens. Now, I understand there's security concerns, so, yeah, you know,
but
I mean, I understand.
It's amazing
but still
to me that they give you that overhead view.
Right.
It's just packed. And it's
well,
like
for the most part,
people,
it's not.
It
yeah.
500,000, whatever the hell it is.
And for the most part, it's not New Yorkers. It's
oh,
travelers,
no.
Foreigners.
Oh, no. There's nobody from. The only
right
people from New York City over there are the cops,
you're right,
the sanitation, and a few of the performers.
And
everybody else is from out of town.
And Queen Bloomberg.
And Sissy Mary himself. So.
We just love fucking with that guy. He's absolutely horrible.
He's a douche.
I can't stand him.
On the other hand, though, I
what's
must
that
say this. Whatever you think of the job he's doing, I was taking a look at the list of possibilities to replace him.
Right.
Ooh.
Horrible, right?
Yikes.
Really bad.
Yeah.
The head of the MTA in New York.
Oh, I don't know. But
he's saying he's going to run. Yeah, he's going to run for mayor, he's saying. And here's the funny part. Is there anything more despised than the MTA in New York City? when you think about it?
Probably not. I'm trying to think of who might be him.
Maybe a couple of homeless assholes that like drop bricks on your head might be more hated universally.
Yeah,
but that's about
know
it.
Yeah, the MTA is pretty much down there. The only problem is he might be the best choice. You got that Quinn woman. high angry lesbian. Like, yeah, that's no
that's
good.
That's it. No good.
Then you got De Blasio,
right,
kind of a generic knucklehead. His claim to fame is he married a black chick who was on crack.
Nice.
And her story is that she married him and she turned her life around.
Nice. So he's got a magical cock, is what we're saying.
That's it. But and then I don't know what, and then the guy from the Rent's Too Damn High Party.
Him I would vote for mayor.
I'd actually vote for him.
Jimmy MacMillan.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could get him on the White Riot.
That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Because he wears white gloves.
Sure.
And he's got the white beard.
That's what we need, an angry black ex-Vietnam vet on the White Riot show.
To come on here and tell us why he's paying too much goddamn rent.
The rent is too damn high. Absolutely. I would love to have that guy on the riot. But anyway, I don't want to get too local for the politics on the show. Yep. But Judah Lariam, a lot of interesting things going on in the past 2 weeks. Let's see if we could cover them all during this show. The first thing that you alluded to, which of course is the utter in filthiness, current TV. Now, some of you out there might be actually be saying, what the fuck is a current TV? What is current TV? Well, current TV is the little left-wing network, allegedly, that our very own former vice president and number one environmental douchebag Al Gore put together.
Yeah, Mr. Global Warming.
But the funny thing is, like, it almost, nobody watches that fucking channel. I think they've got Elliot Spitzer. It's like whoever gets kicked off of CNN or MSNBC ends up on Current TV if you're a left-wing asshole.
Yeah, but they're a bunch of losers.
Like, Keith Olbermann went to Current TV, and then he quit, and now he's suing them, or he started to sue them. I don't know what
that's
happened.
That's a funny story, only because he signed, like, a five-year deal.
Right.
At $10 million a year. And he did the show for 1 year.
Right.
And I remember reading this. This was just absolutely hilarious. He complained that they didn't pick him up and drive him home in a limo.
Right.
He complained that his money, he really actually thought he deserved more.
Really?
And that he was like such a diva. Like,
right.
When he was there about makeup and food and water and his own room and like a whole thing. And it became such a mess and they got rid of him. But contractually, I think they still owe him like 4 years, $40 million.
Really?
Like some stupid thing like that. But it's just terrible. I've seen it once.
And their other number one personality is the former governor who enjoyed throwing his dick in hookers the whole time, Mr. Law and Order himself, Spitzer, Elliot Spitzer.
Who got kicked off CNN.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing how they recycle these losers.
But anyways, speaking of recycling losers, so current TV, it's not carried by too many cable carriers, rather.
No.
It's got horrible viewership. I think they said it's like 40 million homes. Max or something to that effect. It's really like a non-entity. But interestingly enough, it got sold for, I think, $500 million.
$500 million to Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera. Yeah. Can you believe that? And by Al Jazeera, that's not like the new name of Al Gore. We're talking about Al Jazeera, which is the Pan-Arabic CNN equivalent, I guess.
Yeah, the equivalent in Qatar.
Right. And I think, listen, I don't think they're a front or anything, but there were times when they were accused of being too cozy with these terrorists because they were the ones who always aired, like, you know, the messages from bin Laden.
Terrorist videos
and shit like that. So whether they actually are sympathetic or not, you know, they're not necessarily positively viewed in the U.S., I would say.
No, I'm sure it's a very negative view. And you're talking about people, though, who are, they're trying to extend their influence is what it comes down to.
Either that or over here.
And they want to prove, as one article I read said, They want to show Americans that it's not the Middle East. There's more going on than religious extremism,
right?
Rich oil slobs,
right?
And what did they else did they say? Like something about.
But basically,
like,
they're trying to rehabilitate their image, right?
Yeah.
They're trying to present a certain image, which I guess is fair enough, you know. But they bought Current TV. And what's interesting here, is what we, of course, always know, Judah Lariam, which is the utter and total hypocrisy of the left. You know, good right-wingers like ourselves, good libertarians like ourselves say, hey, man, we're out to make a buck.
Right.
As long as it's not illegal, we're out to make a buck.
Yeah, so let them buy it.
Yeah, let them buy it. I don't give a fuck. Let them buy it.
Let them buy it.
And because of our stance on taxes, I'm like, and do it in any tax advantageous way you want.
Right.
But it's like in the same way, and I'll be fair, in the same way that like we always say, oh, those fucking conservative assholes, family value guys who always get caught like shoving a baseball bat in a hooker's ass like in some seedy hotel, or those anti-gay crusaders who end up sucking dick for 3 years before they're caught.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's hypocrisy. And we deserve to hear the ridicule.
Right.
But on the left, here's the ridicule that they're open to. Al Gore, Mr. Liberal himself, Mr. Environmentalist, Mr. Global Warming.
Right.
Not only does he sell to this highly divisive or
highly visible.
Yeah, it's like controversial to some extent.
Yeah.
And maybe you could say, well, a liberal would have done that or whatever, which is fine. But he did it on December 31st, allegedly, from what I understand, so he could avoid the new tax bite that the Obama administration wants to put on millionaires and the 1%. So this fucking cocksucker decides to sell something for $500 million, and he sold it before the new fiscal year, so he wouldn't be on the hook for higher taxes.
Right, and you know that he made a huge profit.
Whatever. He should make a profit. If it's
his,
I have no problem.
But he's the kind of person who might be against that.
Oh, sure.
This is a person who usually derides capitalism.
Yeah, and what's interesting is though he was wealthy to begin with. It's like, why are we pretending like he came from some fucking log cabin in Tennessee? He was a wealthy man, as was his father.
His father was a senator for 22 years. So.
Yeah, and we all know how politics is personally enhancing when it comes to wealth.
Yeah, so, you know, Al Gore, you're a piece of shit, and I hope that the people who watch Al Jazeera, I'm not kidding, I hope the numbers just go right down and it becomes a waste of money. The only thing, which the one thing that I was reading said, this guy's got so much money.
Yeah.
The emir who bought this.
Yeah.
Like, he could just, like, literally, he could lose the whole $500 million, like,
Yeah.
It's like $5 to you. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and to him, it's smart. Like, I don't blame Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera just bought something that already has access, even though it's limited, it already has access to homes in the U.S.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to build out the infrastructure necessarily, and he has licenses already. So he's just going to rename current TV probably Al Jazeera West or Al Jazeera U.S. or whatever the fuck it is. And now he has this platform that he's going to be able to proselytize and to rehabilitate the image of whatever in the Middle East.
You mentioned Oberman. And you have to realize they have to compete with like Piers Morgan and Bill O'Reilly.
Another asshole. Both assholes, actually.
Bill O'Reilly. So what's going to happen is, now what I heard is that the first show that they're going to plan to compete with those is there's more to shoe bombing than you think.
Oh, really? That's one of the first ones?
That's the first show.
Yeah. The other one I show that I think they're planning to air, because I heard that's the first series they're going to air.
Yeah.
The second series they're going to air is going to be How to Chop Your Daughter's Clit Off and Have a Party.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Yeah. So instead of a Sweet 16, they have a Sweet Clit Chopping Party.
Yeah, listen, I've been reading about that more and more. It's all about stopping women from being promiscuous.
Right.
And of course, to show you
what they're right.
Oh, yeah. Like, you notice, though, they don't do anything to the boys.
Well, it's not their fault. It's all those horrible bitches teasing them.
Whores.
Like, what are those guys in the Middle East supposed to do when these bitches walk around without a burqa covering, like, every square inch of their face? How are you supposed to react?
How are you supposed to control yourself?
You're supposed to throw them down and have your way with them.
Just awful.
What's awful? So, what's the matter with these like non-progressive bitches here in the U.S.?
I don't know. Sometimes I look at them. They're very scantily dressed.
Now, if you do chop the clits off a couple of women, now you got something going.
What do you got?
You got women who aren't teasers anymore. They're not cock teasers anymore, Judah Lariam. A life devoid of blue balls. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, that would be, but I'm still going to blame the men.
Oh, really? Okay.
For their aggressive.
You're very narrow-minded. You're not progressive at all.
Yes, I am. It's terrible. You know, my girlfriend's blonde, and I figured the other day, you know, do I want to look at her the way she is?
Yeah.
Or do I want to put some half-assed potato sack over her?
Of course you want to put the potato sack on her, because the problem isn't you looking at her. It's her looking at me and having me, like, bang her in the ass. Because that would be her fault.
Ah, very good.
You see how that works?
That is her fault.
See, now I'm opening up your eyes to the wisdom of clit chopping in the Middle East.
Well, now I got to watch Al Jazeera.
There you go.
And, of course, the other show, there's more to underwear bombing than you think.
Yes, you need both those.
How to cut off a head in three easy steps.
There you go. Yeah. How to properly stone a heretic.
Yes.
That could be another one.
That's
an infidel.
I'm looking for that.
That's a game show, actually. Yes. That's a game show.
Who's stoning who?
Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter. Laddie, now, so you stand still right here.
And that's about the time the original Sheik would throw fire in your face, right?
Like, yeah, or sand. Because that's what they do.
Of course it is.
You want to know the funniest form?
What?
Whatever people think about it, the funniest, like, just goofing on, like, because wrestling always appealed to your lowest
instinct. Of course.
The best thing. The Iron Sheik wrestling Hulk Hogan.
Right.
He gets Hogan down.
Right.
The referee's looking at Hogan.
Right.
And then he runs across the ring and he starts kicking his shoe.
Right. Loading up the boot.
But he's got the little like Alibaba tip.
Right.
And Gorilla Monsoon goes, "He's loading up that boot, Jay. You don't know what he's doing."
Right.
It's like the stupidest thing. And he's got a camel on his pants.
He's loading up his boot.
Like with a bomb.
Meanwhile, the real Iron Sheik was like someone who escaped the persecution in
Iran.
Yeah,
Rashad.
He was a real wrestler. The first thing he did when he came to this country is he trained all of our American wrestlers to go to the Olympics and actually put up a decent fight.
That's not the first thing he did.
Oh, what was the first thing?
The first thing they do is get pizza and hookers.
And blow.
Yeah. For all their religious stuff, they can't wait. Where are the drugs? Where are the women? Where's the fucking pizza? Pizza. Pizza, pizza. I actually think that's where it comes from.
Oh, really? Pizza, pizza. 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 Yeah. Was that Little Caesars or something like that?
Yeah, Little
Larry, what's going on?
What happened?
What? You can't say that.
You can't say what?
Well, don't worry about it.
I love pizza.
I'll just beep it out again.
I love pizza.
I know you do. I'll just beep it out again.
Oh, no.
All right, never mind.
Did I make it stinky?
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so Current TV now being sold to Al Jazeera, it's like this weird, horrible... Not horrible. I mean, look, as a free marketeer, I'm like, fuck it. Let the guy sell it. I have no problem with it. But the hypocrisy is staggering in this case, in my opinion.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. I mean, I quite honest, personally, I'd rather watch the Janitor Channel. But
I'd rather watch Two Flies. Fuck. That's on the Janitor. All right, Judah Larry. I mean, enough of the Current TV stuff. Hey. I was just saying, the other thing that we want to talk about here is the whole fiscal cliff negotiations that took place.
Yeah, we almost went over the cliff.
Would that have been a bad thing?
I don't know. I'd almost like to find out what would have happened.
Honestly, I think we should have gotten over the cliff.
Why? Because of the automatic cuts?
Yeah, because, I mean, for those rioters out there that don't really get into the nitty-gritty of this, basically the fiscal cliff... If new laws around spending and taxation were not passed prior to December 31st, by law, there was automatic tax hikes and automatic spending cuts that would have taken place across the board.
Right.
And a lot of people made it sound worse than it is. Oh, the fiscal cliff. What'll happen with the fiscal cliff? But, you know, when I look at it, would it have been a bad thing? Because, yes, you would have felt pain for the first year or so. But then I've seen some economists estimate that unemployment would have been knocked down. Inflation would have come down.
Those are guesses.
You'd be knocking down your debt, which is a good thing. You would have potentially some tax increases. Not potentially. You would have had tax increases to increase revenue. So really, would it have been a bad thing? I think not. I think we needed it. It's forced austerity, and it's the type of austerity that we can handle at this point. I mean, because otherwise we're rocketing to the type of austerity that's taking place in Greece with these fucking Greeks that, you know, they're all rioting, pardon the pun, they're setting things on fire, nobody's working, nobody's paying taxes. But instead of that, which to me would have not been the worst situation, instead what we got was some bullshit agreement.
Right.
That got hammered through in the Senate, because in the Senate it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're there for 6 years, you want the gravy train to keep rolling in.
Yeah.
So they basically passed tax increases with like next to no spending cuts.
Right, because the cuts were offset by new spending.
Yeah. But even the cuts that were there weren't even significant to begin with. Right. And in the House, I have to say, I'm deeply disappointed in Boehner and Cantor and the rest of the Republicans. They caved.
Yeah.
They caved.
Yeah, but you knew they were going to, because they had nowhere to go with this.
Like, they're just saying,
they were very afraid of the cliff. So they didn't want to go over the fiscal cliff, as it was described.
They were afraid of the political ramifications.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They were afraid of what was going to happen
right.
if they didn't at least come up with something. Because if they... really like stuck to their guns and nothing went through, then they just, you know, it adds to this narrative that they're very unhelpful, belligerent,
right,
uncooperative, and they're just not going to work with this president at all. And that works for him, that doesn't work for them. And they're already in the minority, and they're, you know, look how quickly after, I mean, you have to admit this, after the election, look how quickly they all turned on Mitt Romney. All right, it's a jerk, it's this, it's that, and they went after
him. Well, he was a jerk. They should have turned on him because he fucked up, and again, the party fucked up by putting him, but that we've already got over it.
But the point is, they don't have any, they're not in a strong position right now.
Yeah, but like,
and
I mean,
their leaders aren't very
But look
strong.
What happened. What did they agree to? They agreed, instead of on 200 and 250,000 being called the millionaire's tax or whatever you want. They moved it to 400 and 450. But as it turned out, because the payroll tax credits expiring and shit like that, they said 77% of Americans are going to feel a tax bite.
And
there were no spending cuts. Here's an interesting story that I read that I know you're going to appreciate. The great and sainted Ronald Reagan. Take a moment to bow your head, please.
I absolutely love him.
The Gipper, when he was at the height of his popularity in 1986, he ran into a similar situation. And he kept vetoing all these budgets that included tax increases. And what happened was, and we were starting, it was a strong economy, he had turned things around, and basically congressional Republicans convinced him to sign off on the tax increases and that they would take care of the spending cuts down the road. And they urged him to sign that so he can, you know, so they could just get things going. That never happened. He got sold out by his own party. And, of course, as soon as those little tax increases took place and you had all this money coming in still from a strong economy that he had engineered with Reaganomics, what happened? They increased spending because now everybody wants the pork, right?
Right.
And Reagan, think of everything that happened in his presidency. He said the biggest regret of his presidency was that he signed off on that deal. That he signed off on the tax increases without the corresponding spending cuts. He said it was the biggest mistake of his presidency. And if you look at that situation, the ratio of tax increase dollars to spending cuts that were proposed were 3-1.
3-1, right.
Do you know what it was in this deal?
10-1.
41-1.
Wow.
Meaning for every $1 of spending cuts, they worked in $41 of tax increases.
Yeah.
And when you looked at the shit in the fiscal cliff, what's hilarious to me is, well, if we go over the fiscal cliff, milk will be $6 a gallon. Do you know why?
No.
Because of fucking farm subsidies and arcane laws that say that if you don't sell this much milk or if this much milk doesn't go or if this budget doesn't pass, then you have to charge this much. In other words, over-regulation.
Right.
These horrible, arcane government fucking with everything that happens in the universe, trying to control everything when they can't. And I'm like, go over the fiscal cliff, please. On our Twitter account, The White Riot Show, twitter.com/White Riot Show, I kept pleading, please go over the fiscal cliff. Because even if my taxes go up, which they have already, now our taxes have gone up regardless, and we haven't gotten any debt reduction. We haven't gotten any spending reduction.
That's where they
unemployment
fail.
Is still 8-9%. Nobody gives a fuck because now we're accepting it as the norm.
Right. But that's actually the part of it that annoyed me the most. It's one thing if you said, well, the Republicans gave in on the taxes and now they're going back to the Clinton era, 39.6%.
Right.
Okay, not the worst thing in the world. I mean, I don't believe in
Well, the capital gains tax also went up, too.
Yeah, right. But for people who make whatever. But the point is, I mean, I've always been a person who says, and I will say it, and I've been saying it forever, just trash the whole tax system and just institute a flat tax, 20%, 25%, whatever it is you agree on, the lower the better. But the biggest problem is, if you're going to raise those taxes, I'd like to hear at least that the money you're getting, fine, you're going to take it from rich people, at least tell me that the money's going for debt reduction. Tell me that.
Yeah, it's
like
not.
Everybody knows this money's going to go into government. These assholes are going to spend it.
It's an entitlement program.
They're going to waste it.
Yeah, and just to show you, just to fucking show you their mentality. After the fiscal cliff thing, what was the next thing that made the rounds?
Oh, the debt ceiling.
Before that was the Sandy relief, the Hurricane Sandy relief.
Oh, that was awful.
That Boehner canceled the vote. And at first, I was like you. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? He already caved on it. But did you actually read the Sandy relief bill?
No.
After my initial wave of like, that fucking asshole, what's he trying to prove? Like, it'd be one thing if he said, we're not passing this and we're not passing the fiscal cliff thing because there's too much spending. I would have disagreed, but I would have understood it, and I would have said, okay, the guy's standing on principle. You know what was actually in that fucking bill?
What?
And I don't understand why Republicans don't better portray this. It wasn't just the hurricane relief bill.
Yeah.
There was, like, pork in there for Alaska, for Texas, for California, for a future unnamed new federal agency that would have handled distribution of hurricane money. Aside from FEMA?
Oh, geez.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Actually,
here's the thing. Sandy relief was estimated to be at roughly between 20 and 28 billion. That bill was for something like 60 billion.
Yeah.
And the rest of it above that was pork.
Yeah.
Pure pork. So Boehner was right in saying, we're not going to vote on this piece of shit. But he was wrong in the way he did it. What right. he should have said is, I'll be happy to pass hurricane relief. Send me a bill for roughly $10 billion, which is what they passed today, $9.7 billion hurricane relief. He should have said, send me a bill.
Right.
For the $10 billion.
Something
I'll
that
sign
actually
it.
Coincides with Sandy.
Yeah, I'll have a vote on that.
Sense. Yeah.
But I'm not paying for fucking Alaska's fisheries for $17 million.
I got to tell you, Boehner and some of these candidates, these guys do not work the media very well.
No.
Because the way that was portrayed was...
That they were callous that assholes
were
towards New York and New Jersey.
Assholes. Yeah. And even Christie, though, went out and attacked them.
Well, it just goes... I'm disappointed in him. Not because he attacked them because they were Republicans, but because he attacked them without reading the fucking bill. Like,
right.
like you
he
and I...
He just heard that they stopped... That
right.
Boehner tabled the vote and he
yeah.
just went scumbag.
He went,
like
he went
yeah.
ballistic. Oh, man. What happened? You just blow one out?
That's your fault.
It is?
You sexy bitch.
Oh. Okay, so you're blaming me like the dog?
Does it smell? Well, no, actually, I figured I just beat you to it. Because every week you do
yeah,
some
I do.
Horrible
I do.
Ass cheese once we get to like the 47-minute mark.
Yeah.
So I figured we are about 25 minutes in.
I had some Szechuan beef right before the show, so you know it's coming your way soon. As soon as that thing percolates
well,
to like a boil.
To know, now I feel good that I just shut the windows. Stuck in there with big fat ass flatulence.
Yeah, but like, I mean, so this fiscal cliff, I mean, I understand politically they had to pass something, but really, we got fucked on this one again,
yeah,
Judo.
Absolutely. They never get it right. They never get it right. Everything is just backward. It's stupid. Please.
It's horrible. It really is.
You remember, here's an interesting thing
that
also happened today. Remember the Republican Senator Chuck Hagel?
Yeah.
From Nevada?
Yeah.
Obama's going to nominate him for Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, he's a rhino. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But I heard he's not going to pass, right? I heard there's opposition to him.
Oh, I don't know. All I saw was it looks like he's going to get the nomination. I mean, I don't know if that's supposed to be an attempt to reach out to Republicans or to show that he's willing to have bipartisan, you know, because obviously, he was a Republican, but he wasn't exactly Mr. Conservative, so.
Right.
You know, he was in the Senate from Nevada. He retired a few years ago.
Right. It's yeah. This whole fiscal cliff thing was horrible. It really got me disgusted heading into the new year. And I know a lot of people out partying and drinking and stuff, but you know, I actually paid attention to that fucking vote. It was a horrible vote. I don't understand what this country fucking wants. I really don't. Then you've got people who are now beginning. I don't know if you noticed this now. Did you notice that in the wake of the school shootings and everything, there's now sort of like this sort of like low-level buzz where people are trying to get steam up to repeal the Second Amendment?
Well, that's not surprising when some professor came out the other day and said we should just scrap the Constitution altogether because nobody listens to it anyway.
He's such a fucking... It's such a liberal douchebaggery that it's like it's not even funny. And what's interesting, again, to this is
but
like...
But that's not surprising they're going after the Second Amendment because it's associated with guns.
Of course. Well, that's the only thing it's associated with is gun ownership and private gun ownership. And I mean, if you think about it, It all plays into the way people are reacting to that Hudson Valley News, or what is it called? The Journal News. LoHUD.com, that published an interactive map with the names and addresses and then the physical locations of everybody's home who is a legal gun permit owner.
Unbelievable.
It was all public information, so it's not like they broke any laws or anything.
Yeah, but
what the fuck purpose would that serve?
I have to tell you, if I was a non-gun owner,
right,
I'd be really upset. You know why?
Right.
Because you're printing this list, and like, here are the people who own guns. If I'm a criminal, like, you know, this says like, well, come rob my house.
Yeah.
I've got no way to protect myself.
Exactly. What was the point in doing that?
Well,
I mean, it's a liberal point of view.
Yeah, it's a liberal point of view to the point where the idea is, look at these people. They own guns. They're dangerous.
They're horrible.
Bad people.
We have a right to know it.
These are bad people. We have a right to know that if you look at this map and all these little dots on it, these are gun owners. We want you to know that your neighbors are like these crazy assholes
with
guns.
Right.
Now, this is where it's gotten
to the point. Criminalizing the lawful.
But you know,
because those assholes didn't print out an interactive map out of public records out of every ex-con that came out of prison.
But how can you print something like that that should be private?
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's a pure political thing that they use technology for. And I don't give a shit if it was public information or not, because there was nobody that went on and collated that information with the intent of printing out an interactive map.
Right.
So I love...
It's clearly just to make them look bad.
Yeah. It was clearly for them to get publicity for themselves, because they're this little piece of shit newspaper with almost like no circulation.
Right.
But what's interesting about it is, did you notice what some conservative bloggers did?
What?
Using public records, they got all the Facebook accounts, addresses, and shit of everybody who works at that newspaper and printed their own map.
And what's the map?
Of the home addresses of the editor, the staffer, the writer. And they just published it. And of course, now they start complaining. They're like, well, is that right? Because our children are involved. And it's like, well, is it right that you published the home of somebody?
Of course.
Because by definition, gun permit owners are not felons. You can't get a gun permit if you're a felon. You can't, you know, right? So these people are law-abiding people that you quote-unquote outed.
You outed, right.
You know? So they
would... But, you know, the thinking behind it is just awful.
Well, again...
I mean, you know, this would be like if you compiled a list, like, oh, all these people we found had, like, dildos in their house.
Well,
or all these people are gay.
Right.
Or all these... But, like, you're targeting people based on something that you clearly don't like, and you want to suggest that there's something wrong with
it.
That's ridiculous. Every one of these people...
It's a form of McCarthyism.
Not only are they legal gun owners, you know, it skips over the fact that every time you have these shootings, all these people are mentally ill. All of these people. And I don't care what anyone tells me. That's what this is about. This kid, Lanza, problems.
Yeah.
Mentally ill. The guy who went into the Batman theater, mentally ill. Jared Lochner, who shot that congresswoman, Eric.
Guns were just the thing they found. It could have been anything.
Now, it is of interest to me to find out, like, for whatever percentage of our population has mental illness and problems like this, why some of them are violent and some of them aren't.
But that's a science question, not a political question.
I understand that, but I'm just saying I'm interested in it. But that is far more of the issue here than guns.
Right.
I understand that guns make it easier to carry out an attack, but you know, you could just as easily be like this woman Menendez here in the city who pushed a Hindu guy on the subway track.
And she had done that before.
Right. You could have set a building on fire. You could have crashed a plane into a building.
Stabbed
people. There's a million ways to kill. You can run people over.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the only thing is that liberals just don't like guns.
Right.
You know, they focus on guns.
Right.
You know, and now I passed some asshole in the street the other day. He had this huge shirt with the no smoking. And it just said, ban this.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, I was going my own way, but I was going to say, like, suck this.
Well, you know, what's interesting is after they published the map and then, like, the conservative bloggers retaliated by publishing their home addresses and shit. What's interesting to me is that they called up the Rockland County Police in New York and said that they received death threats and they needed protection. Right? So the interesting thing is the cops investigated and said there were no threats made against you.
Right.
We're not providing shit.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They went out and hired armed guards for their offices and then to follow the editor around.
That's another reason why it's obnoxious.
How's that liberal hypocrisy for you? You can't have a gun as a private citizen, but hey, I'm some petty editor. I'm some petty editor cunt, and I'm looking for her name while I'm talking to you, because I don't mind mentioning her name.
Not only should I have guns in my lives to protect me, I should have security guards who have guns.
Right. I can't even do it myself. But you plebiscites out there, you bourgeois assholes out there, you guys get to do shit. You should get shot and wait for a fucking... And then, like, to your point, the concept that they've printed a map for criminals who know exactly which houses not to attack.
Right. Let me tell you, if I'm in that map or if I'm in that neighborhood and you're not a gun owner, you know, I'd be worried about a home invasion or something horrible happening to me. Because now these people know, well, you don't have any... Your source of weaponry to protect yourself is going to come down to like a kitchen knife or a bat or whatever you have lying around the house. Let me tell you something. If you get guys who break into your house, you're not going to find that very comforting. I mean, I realize that there are issues that sometimes when people have guns, they pull them out, they don't use them, or something happens. But you know what? I'd rather have that. As somebody who is a gun owner, I would rather have that working for me than have to depend on, oh, I got to get to the closet to get my Louisville Slugger.
That's right. It's bullshit. Oh, and by the way, as a public service announcement, the name of the editor of the Journal News and the one who keeps making these decisions to publish these interactive maps of gun owners, which, by the way, being the defiant little cunt that she is, she's going to do it again with a bigger area, she said. Her name is Cindy Royal.
Hi,
and I'll spell it for you. C-Y-N-D-E-E And her last name is Royal. R-O-Y-L-E.
I think you got the first name wrong.
What's that supposed to be?
I think it's C-U-N-T.
Cunt. Cunty Royal. Or Royal. Or whatever the fuck her name is.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah, but... So, yeah. Feel free to contact her or perhaps send her legal cock pictures or whatever you feel like. Pictures of steaming piles of shit. I think if you send emails of that, that should be okay. I think that's perfectly legal.
Just send her an
legal.
Email saying, look, if somebody breaks into your house, like, look, I'm a gunner. Don't call me.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
No, just don't call me. Since you think I'm a nut, don't bother me.
Or hit him up with some liberal guilt. Maybe that'll stop man of color who breaks into your home from just ramming his cock up your ass constantly.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's okay. Just tell him that what he's doing is antisocial. But
you realize there are socioeconomic reasons for it, so it's okay.
It's okay. And that he should not, that even though you don't have a gun to protect yourself, he should really stop. Because that works.
Yeah, and that'll work.
What a dumbass, hypocritical piece of shit.
And add to what you said, it's absolutely just like an attempt to get attention.
Yes.
It's like one of these, like, yeah, where nobody's, you know what, we'll print this, and it'll definitely cause a stir. It's not
right.
Even journalism. You know why?
Right.
It's not even like, here we're really informing people of, oh, there's like this gas, like, oh, very dangerous to people, or like whatever's going on. Do you really need to know who your neighbors have decided to buy firearms?
No, but
what's it got to do with it?
Because they don't apply it to anything else. So if you're saying you have the right to take public records and take legal gun owners and publish their address, I don't agree with that. But let's say, as a liberal, if this bitch agrees that's the case, why don't you take the public records of people who committed traffic violations and publish theirs?
Yeah.
Because we all know car accidents kill more people than gun accidents every year. Why don't we put down anybody who's got a public citation for drunkenness? Why don't you tell us who the drunks are in our neighborhoods?
You know what the worst part is? I just thought about, who are the ones who usually fight having to release who's like a pedophile who's moved into the neighborhood?
Yeah, these assholes.
These liberal assholes. And meanwhile, it's okay to print law-abiding citizens who have a legal firearm. It's okay to print them and put them out there. And listen, let me tell you something. You don't think that these people aren't going to take a certain amount of abuse? There are going to be people make comments to them. There are going to be people maybe call them or like stop them in the street. Like,
sure.
Oh, you've lived next to me for 3 years. I didn't know you had a gun.
Well, they're trying to harass them into giving up their gun licenses.
Right. Exactly.
It's intimidation, pure and simple.
Yeah,
because
really
there's
disgusting.
No journalistic purpose. Like,
right.
Their stated journalistic purpose of, we think it's important to know who has guns in your neighborhood. Why?
Why?
Why is it important? They're legal gun owners.
Yeah.
By definition, they have done nothing
They've done nothing wrong. You might as well tell me who has a flat-screen TV.
Now, figure out who has an illegal gun and tell me where they are. Now
exactly.
You've done something.
Yes. Why don't they print a list of everybody who has an illegal firearm and how they got it?
Right.
That would be much more interesting,
yeah.
And you could
right.
go
P-
after them.
Print me the interactive map of ex-cons who are living in my neighborhood. Would they do that?
No, they won't do that. That's
right.
A violation of their rights.
Of their civil rights.
Don't you know that, John?
Yeah, I'm so glad they outed this bitch. I'm so glad that, I forget the blogger's name, but there was this one blogger who found her Facebook profile and took pictures of her and her family and plastered them all over the internet.
Good.
He did her parents' home. He did everything. And it was all public record, so you really couldn't get him on anything.
Right.
Just like this bitch. So fine, let it happen. Oh, that was the other thing. They also like printed every single staffer's address.
Good.
And this is where they live. Let's see how the shoe's on the other foot now.
Yeah, let's see how they feel being out there publicly and having personal information, your whereabouts, chronicled for, well, you know, you never know how people are going to react to all this.
Is there a legal way to tell us if she watches like hardcore pornography with her husband?
There's a way to find out that she's part of the team that's buying current TV.
That's right. Is there a way to figure out if she enjoys Shaitzen movies? I'm not saying she does. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she likes watching a good movie where like a guy bends over, spreads his ass cheeks, and takes a shit in the chick's mouth. Maybe she enjoys movies like that, Judah Lariam.
Actually, that would be me.
Oh, would it? Okay.
Taint and all.
Because I'm just speculating.
Yeah,
just speculation. Just throwing out some ideas. Maybe she likes movies where there's like this. I don't know. What could it be? Maybe she likes movies where, say, one of the characters is the editor of a small newspaper. And then the other character comes in, who's a big raging bull dyke with like a big black strap on, and repeatedly jams it up the editor's ass. Maybe she likes watching movies like, I don't know, I'm just speculating.
We're
that
just
perhaps
speculating.
She likes movies like that.
That her tastes run to the exotic.
Right. Now, If that were the case, if it were the case, doesn't her neighbor have the right to know that he's living next to, like, a freak?
Oh, absolutely. In light of what she's done, you have the right to know everything about her.
And all I could say to this bitch
including is... including those pimples on her ass cheek, allegedly.
Is fuck...
fuck you.
You.
You are scum.
This is where you need someone like Al Goldstein to give him his fuck you segment from back Al. In the day. Remember that?
Oh, that's the funniest thing of all time. Al Goldstein. He'd go to some store... and right. they'd advertise like five pairs of socks for $10, and then like he'd get there and they'd charge him like $11, and he'd go, you don't fuck Al Goldstein. Al Goldstein doesn't pay anything other than retail. Fuck you. And then like he'd show like the person who runs the store,
right.
And like they get a picture of him, and then from the side of the camera you see a dildo just hitting him in the head. That is one of the all time funniest things.
He was the original Perez Hilton before the internet.
He's an
like
original,
drawing cock pics
he's
and
an
like
original unabashed disgusting pornographer who had no respect for anyone. Fuck you.
Fantastic.
He'd do those things. He whenever it gets cold here in the city,
yeah.
He used to hate the cold weather.
Really?
He'd always go to Florida. Yeah, he had a house down.
Okay.
So he moved down there. Well, now Al Goldstein, but despite being a pornographer, this is actually pretty funny. He was married like four times.
Oh, really?
He kept taking a shot, and his last wife, he just kept referring to her as the Irish cleaning woman. And he goes, you fucking Mick whore, you took all my money. He goes, that judge. And they showed a picture of the judge.
Right.
He goes, judge, like, shell neck. He goes, you're a wormy little Jew. He goes,
what?
I know what
it
is.
What? Like, what did you just? Oh, come
and
on.
The dildo with him. He goes, fuck you, shell neck. Like, oh, it was just out of control. He was the funny. You know why he did it, which was really great?
What's that?
He made up for it because back in the 70s when those shows started here in Manhattan.
You mean the public access?
The public ass, as they were on Channel J,
right.
You could really just show porn all the time.
Right, Robin Bird was the famous...
No, but that's just a talk show.
Okay.
Really, just porn movies.
Okay.
They just used to show them, and you'd get them for free.
Okay.
And that went on for the 70s into like the early 80s, and all of a sudden, there was a change in like laws and rules, and you couldn't show graphic anything.
Right.
And even though... And you could only show snippets for like 30 seconds. So you not only could only show like 30 seconds of something... But you had to put like a dot or something over the sex organs. So as the restrictions became more stringent, he started coming up with like other material. That's when he started the fuck you segment, which was, I'm not kidding, it's one of the funniest things you'll ever see in the entire world. Like whatever pissed him off, I went to this restaurant the other day, horrible appetizers, the wine was horrible. He goes, I found the owner, like Joe Schmo. Fuck you and your wife. And you get a picture of the two of them, and you see like dildos, right? And like sometimes they throw something that looked like jizz on them.
Like, was it Jergens lotion?
Yes,
or something like
yes. Some type of like Dove cream.
Man.
I like how you go from Al Jazeera to the fiscal cliff to this stupid bitch printing about guns to Midnight Blue. Only the White Riot provides this for our 6,000 or 7,000 followers in the Middle East.
Oh, that's hilarious. And for some reason, we keep throwing poor Sergeant Slaughter into the middle.
Because that's all it used to be. He would do the interviews, and he was supposed to, allegedly speaking like in Farsi, and he would just go like, Sergeant Slaughter. Like, and Sergeant Slaughter would stand there. This is when he took off the sergeant hat,
right.
And he would be wearing the rag hat.
No, right.
But he'd still be wearing the military outfit. How stupid did he look? That was hilarious. We met him that one time. It was hilarious. We met him at Yankee Stadium. He was
a great guy.
Yeah, he was. But I was with a friend's father who once said to him, he goes, oh yeah, we saw the WrestleMania thing. He goes, they really stuck to the script. He goes, oh, I don't know if there was a script. And I started waving to him. I was like, no, don't say it's fake. And he goes, oh, come on, there was a script. He goes, oh, I don't know if there was a script. I was waving to him. I was like jumping up and down. Oh, God.
Yeah, but that's another story for another time maybe, but... Sergeant Slaughter, an old buddy of Big Fat John and Judah Larry M, back in the day, we used to have our own company making games, board games back in the day, and one of the board games we created was Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars, the infamous Sergeant Slaughter's Mat Wars after he had just broken free from Vince McMahon, and we caught him between gigs.
Yeah.
And
I guess you'd call it breaking free.
Yeah.
Going to the AWA at that point.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah, he
that's
just
like getting kicked to the minor league.
Right, he just wasn't with Vince, let's just say that. And he had just started his G.I. Joe gimmick.
Right.
And a chance meeting at a Yankee game. We recognized him, and we just talked to him a little bit and said, how would you like to join the team? And, you know, we'll pay you X, and, you know, can we license you for the game and everything? And then old Big Fat John had to go to the drawing board and come up with a wrestling game. And there you go. And we sold it and made a little scratch. But the best part of it was hanging out with the old school wrestlers.
Yeah.
It was hanging out with Sergeant Slaughter and Big John Studd. Big John Studd and the Masked Superstar back in the day.
You even met Don Kernoodle.
Don Kernoodle. I forgot about old Don.
Crazy Don.
And you know what's the amazing thing, and it persists to this day, because, you know, I've also had some dealings in my other ventures with some wrestlers, pro wrestlers.
That led up to the fiscal cliff.
That caused the fiscal cliff, right?
I guaranteed it.
The one thing as a breed that professional wrestlers are all about is that they were always the best thing that ever happened to pro wrestling. No matter which jabroni motherfucker you run into, it could have been the guy... You know, like
just for squash matches.
Yeah, like Barry Horowitz, if you remember the old jobbers or somebody like that. If you talk to Barry O or any of those guys, they were the greatest thing that ever happened to pro wrestling.
Right.
And if it wasn't for some motherfucker that kept him down politically, he would have been bigger than Hulk Hogan. Or hear how Ric Flair keeps everyone down. You know, like each one.
There could be a smidgen to truth there.
Okay,
because we did find out later on that if you didn't have sex with. And you weren't going anywhere.
Allegedly. Come on. Allegedly.
That's
you got to say allegedly.
Name.
You got to say.
Made up
you got to say allegedly.
The alleged first.
No. You can't say that.
Who's yelling that?
You can't say that.
Blow me.
You can't say that.
You cannot do that. It's unprofessional. It's illegal.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. And, you know, one day, I will say one thing. If you recall, now I can't continue. Triple Larry M's put some shit into my head, and I can't continue with this. I can't. I'm not looking at you. But,
which means you're going to fight.
Stop it. Let me just get this out. I don't know how long I can keep this up.
Yeah, let me get this out.
But I will say one thing with these motherfuckers is, like, when you do talk to them, all of them have this same thing going on where, like, they'll tell you, like, oh, you know, I was the guy. I actually had one wrestler trying to convince me that he invented the clothesline. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I think it was the Masked Superstar. He goes, you know, I invented the clothesline. I'm like, really?
Really?
The first caveman probably invented the clothesline when he, like, japped, like, the guy in the cave who was banging his woman, you know, or something like that. What do you mean you invented the clothesline? Come on.
The caveman first probably did a big poop with a log and, like, threw it at somebody's neck. And that was the first clothesline.
No, but seriously, but what's interesting about it is even to this day, you still have that thing where these guys are hustlers and, you know, they really are like real carnies in the truest sense of the word.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no honor among it. There's no. I mean, we all know it's predetermined and all that, but it's still like the political thing. It's worse than the worst job you could ever think of.
That's terrible. You're constantly on the road. I got to ask you a funny question. Have you ever seen a movie called Ready to Rumble?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, it's not very funny.
Right.
But there is one, right at the very beginning of the movie, there is one really funny scene.
That's the one with Arquette, right?
David Arquette. And Khan's, who's on Hawaii Five-0, the little guy. But there is one thing right at the beginning, it's really funny. They got one of Zappa's kids.
Right.
The Ahmed Zappa, or one of those. And he plays a guy like at a Quickie Mart.
Okay.
And David Arquette walks in, and he's having a brain freeze.
Okay.
So he's still outside, but he's dreaming this.
Right.
And he walks in, and the way they filmed it is fantastic. He goes, give me another Slurpee. And now, of course, the wrestler in the movie is played by Oliver Platt.
Okay.
That they love. His name is Jimmy the King.
Right.
So he walks in, he goes, give me another, like, he goes, Slurpee. He goes, King size. The guy goes, and he's bald, and he has these nasty looking eyebrows. He goes, that'll be $1.26. And he goes, and you see $1.25 bounce. He goes, $1.25. That's all I got. And he goes, well, that's not good enough, you little Jimmy the King fan goof, you little loser.
Right.
Jimmy the King's a big sissy and tight. He goes, there's a lot of glare coming off that dome of yours. Squirrel nuts. And they get into like this whole money. And he gives like the curl.
Right.
You got to see, for wrestling, it is one of the buddies. And then they work Savage into it.
Right.
Which is fantastic.
Right. Well, that was the WCW movie that was affiliated at the time with WCW.
But that first scene is fantastic. The guy like does like the curly. He smacks his bald head. He goes, "I'm gonna open up a can of whoop-ass."
Yeah, yeah. But that's the funny thing. It's like, but to this day, like for a while I was covering, doing a TV venture, and we did that independent league. You know, where we were filming some TV stuff for them. And I met a lot of those guys. And like when you talk to them, like I told you, I think I met the. I met Marty Jannetty, from the old Midnight Rockers,
Matt Patterson.
No, I met who was it? Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
I met Bret Hart, Bret the Hitman Hart. I met all these guys. And the funny thing is, you know, I'm being a little bit of a fanboy. I'm like, oh, can I get your picture? Blah blah blah. We're taking pictures and everything.
Yeah, I remember that.
And how many photo bombs in those pictures were there of the guy who was the replacement Ultimate Warrior? I don't even know his fucking name. Whoever he was.
The only thing I remember is that you were bigger than all of them.
Yeah.
I was like, John, you can beat these fucking guys if you were in shape, you fat fuck. I was like, look at
this. That's true.
John was like, let me tell you something. John took a picture of these guys. He had like 3 or 4 inches on everybody.
Yeah.
Just bigger in size, even though we outplay your fatness.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, you know, it's like, I'm trying to kill these guys. I said, these photos would look better with me because I'm smaller and they would look bigger than me.
You know who was the only guy who was, you're right, but you know who was, in all seriousness, was as big as I was, but he was 1,000 years old? Ox Baker. Remember Ox Baker?
Ox Baker's out of his mind. Yeah, I saw him in Escape from New
York. Poor bastard with that big handlebar mustache.
He still has it, right?
And he still, and he dyes it black with the bald head. And he had that bullwhip around his neck that he always carries. And I saw him, and a poor bastard. You hear about this, but it's not an exaggeration. These guys are broken down human beings at some point. Sad. They're in the middle of Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this poor guy, Ox Baker, a guy that I grew up, I was terrified of him when you saw him on TV. Oh, he was fucking terrifying.
He looked like an evil.
With the pointy ears and everything. And I saw him, and he was just sitting like slumped over in a folding chair. Someone had given him a soda that he was sucking on. You know what I mean? It was like, I walked up to him and I went, "Mr. Baker," and he went, "Huh?"
Oh,
I said, "Yeah, I'm sorry." I said, "Big fan. Can I get a picture?" I mean, it was almost, it was almost pathetic.
Yeah, I remember you told me.
And he just said to me, he goes, "All right, son." He goes, and I bent over so he wouldn't have to get out of the chair because you could tell he was in pain, you know? And he looked at me and he says, "No pictures of me sitting down." He says, "Just do me a favor." He goes, "You stand up and just give me your arm." I go, "What?" He goes, "Give me your hand. Give me your hand." So I give him my hand, and the guy was still strong because he lifted himself up off the chair by his arm.
Yeah.
Like he did like a pull-up using me as leverage.
Right.
And he stood up long enough, and he put his, you know, he held. Now, when you look at the picture, it looks like we're doing one of those mean poses. I'm doing one of those mean poses with him, like, and he was, and like you saw the picture, that he was the only one of the wrestlers that was as big as I was.
Right.
But the whole time that picture was taken, he was holding me. He was holding himself up by holding on to me.
Right.
That's why it looks intense. If you look at that picture, he's got that scowl on his face.
Yeah.
It's because he's holding himself up. And I'm like, man, I feel so sad for the guy. Like, there's no pension.
Yeah.
There's no old age home for wrestlers. Like, if you didn't sock away your money or buy a business when you were hot, like a bar or something,
you're homeless.
Fucked. Yeah, you're fucked. And you go to these shows. It's like that movie, The Wrestler, with that Aronofsky made with Mickey Rourke. It is so accurate. Like, you see these guys, their whole life is going from show to show, hoping that someone pays you 10, 20 bucks for an autograph. Maybe you make enough money to have a hot dog that night, or somebody feeds you hot dog because they remember who you are.
Yeah.
Day to day. Like, even I ran into that.
Well,
that,
if you remember with the superstar Billy Graham, after he left, like, they showed his operations.
His hip replacements.
Remember his hip on the WWF? They that poor guy. Now, of course, a lot of it was
steroids
back when they didn't know that it was bad for you.
Right.
Or you were just getting, like, the first information that it might be.
Right.
But nobody cared. Like, people would take, and he was huge. I mean, he was hilarious. Him and the Grand Wizard.
Right. But there's this sort of, like, little honor among thieves that they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, even though I was clearly a fanboy, none of them knew who I was. They just, someone had told them that I was a quote-unquote TV executive. So they were all kissing my ass because they thought I could get them on TV. You know what I mean? Would you stop it already? I can't bleep this out the whole time, buddy.
Well,
come on, you're making life horrible. Don't say. You're killing me over here.
You're
killing me. No. You're killing me. But what the fuck, man? Cut me a break, bro. But like, they were all they were all like, kiss my ass. And there's this honor among thieves. Like, oh, this guy is backstage. You know, he's cool. We'll take pictures and stuff. But, like, I mean, in the front area, like, a four-year-old could walk up to him and say, mister, can I get your picture or your autograph? Sure, $25.
Oh, wow.
$30, $50, two for one. And even that, who's that hot bro? Oh, Maria. Do you remember Maria?
Yeah,
WWE?
Absolutely.
Do you see the picture I took with her with her little fucking whore outfit that she had on?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. By the way, super sweet girl. Turns out she's half Greek. So tried to talk her up a little bit. Took a couple pictures with me. Came out fantastic. Everyone's jealous of me. Can't even begin to describe how hot she is in real life. Yeah. Like, just, she walks by and your tongue hits the floor and you kind of hope you can jam it up her ass.
How come she got kicked out of Vince World? Do you know? I don't know.
I think, you know, she said she quit to pursue a singing career. I don't know. I didn't ask her.
Oh, okay.
But, like, gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And then, like, as soon as she got dressed, went out to the stage area, she was charging, like, eight-year-olds $10 a pop to take a picture with them.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And she's not like an old lady. She's still hot. She could still, you know, but that's how they make their money once they leave Vince. It's they become a name. They have some name recognition. And then it's like a carnival. They go from gym to gym to fair to fair, high school to high school, and whatever they can get at that point. And you know who's the worst?
Who?
I mean, it's, you know who else does this bit is Primetime Sam Roberts, because he's a big wrestling fan, and he started this. But it's actually, too, do you remember, here's a name from a blast from the past. Do you remember the Million Dollar Man?
Yeah, Ted DiBiase.
Right. Do you remember who his valet was?
Virgil.
Virgil. All right. Virgil goes to all these shows. Nobody wants to talk to him. Nobody wants to take their picture with him. And he's the biggest fucking whore on the face of the planet. And I saw him do this to a couple of people. Like, let's say a kid was taking a picture with Ox Baker. Right?
Yeah.
Just before the picture was being taken, he would jump in and go, you want a picture with Virgil too, right? You want Virgil in the picture? Virgil be in the picture with you, but Virgil be in it. And he'd put his arm around the kid and Ox Baker and take the picture. So then the guy would go to pay Ox Baker $10 or $20 or whatever for the picture. Then he'd turn around, Virgil be like, nah, that'd be $20 too. And I heard people say, well, I didn't ask to take a picture with you. Doesn't matter, Virgil in the picture now.
Yeah.
You got to pay me.
Yeah, that's
just, like, photobombing people and demanding that they pay him.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But that's what he does. And I've heard from various people that that's what he does from show to show. He photobombs people. He jumps in the middle. Then he'll demand. He's like those assholes in Times Square that wear the Cookie Monster outfits.
Yeah.
That take pictures of your kid. And then if you don't pay them for the picture, they'll threaten to like beat up your kid or something.
Yeah. And if you're going to photobomb people, do me a favor. If you're going to do it right.
What's that?
Somebody sent me a link, one of photobombs. And there's like some of them on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
You see all these tourists like taking a picture.
Right.
And, and then some guy just in the on the far side, right. He like pulled his jeans down. You just see his ass. And you see all these idiots smiling. And then like you see somebody's ass. Woo! It's the White Riot Show.
All right. Well, on that note, Judolarium, it's been an hour, and I think
Really?
Yeah, it's been pretty much an hour, and I'm pretty much talked out. I think I've got the flu or something. I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, you have a lot of bleeping to do.
I've got a lot of bleeping to do, you motherfucker. You kept saying that guy's name. Please don't say it again. I'm going to run out of space.
There's nothing wrong with President Obama.
Oh, stop it.
President Obama.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm just fucking around now. The only reason I'm not going to beep that out is because we know Obama's not a pro wrestler, so you weren't talking about him before.
We're going to bleep him out. Actually, I want you to bleep it out anyway until he follows the White Riot Show.
He blocked the right Riot Show.
Oh, did he really?
During the campaign, I told you that. He blocked us for about 2 days.
Racist. Oh, I can't believe it. You think his white wife would be into it?
Oh, stop. You're taking advantage of me being borderline with the flu. You realize that?
Good.
You're taking advantage of me, you cocksucker. You fucking cocksucker. It's like you're taking advantage.
You better bleep that out, you grease ball. I don't believe it. This has been the White Riot Show. Follow us on Facebook, Stitcher. Oh, shut up, man. Stick up for your gun rights.
Dissension in the White Riot Studios.
Yes, dissension.
Oh, no. Okay, we'll take care of that, too. Oh, woo.
Woo.
Turning the tables on me.
Pucci Capesta.
Turning the tables on me. All right, everyone. Oh, it's been an interesting show.
It sure has.
Judah Lyrium just looks at, is looking at me and laughing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not even saying it. He's just looking at me, shaking his head and laughing.
You're as pathetic as Ox Baker. You're just sitting there right now waiting for the show to end. I just got my second wind. You leave. I'll do another hour.
You're welcome to it. I'll
fuck
turn
you.
Over the All right.
Stitcher, Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
You didn't do the full pimpy at the beginning of the show.
I did. I'll do it again. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to the Dysfunctional White Riot Show this week. Catch us on Facebook.com/White Riot Show, Twitter.com/White Riot Show, Stitcher.com/Stitcher Radio. Look for White Riot Show. Go to iTunes. Look for White Riot Show. Also, go to WhiteRiotShow.com for all your White Riot Show needs. And also catch the riotous clips on YouTube.com/White Riot Show. Basically, wherever you can go, go find the White Riot Show. White Riot Show everywhere. We know how to brand effectively. Judo Lariam, thank you. This looks like it was a decent show to kick off 2013. Join us again next week when the White Riot returns.
Peace.
Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And my testicles are killing me.